This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at geraldjonesaudi.com.
Well, Bob Golby won the 1968 Masters, making this the 50th anniversary of that victory. It is a pleasure to welcome Bob Golby to the Augusta Golf Show for the very first time. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Don, how you doing?
You know, I am great. Thank you so very much for doing this. Let me start with this. I'm 60 years old, Bob, so I was 10 years old when you won. Help me understand how important the Masters was 50 years ago.
I didn't quite hear the question you asked me. How the Masters was 50 years ago?
Yeah, how important was the Masters 50 years ago?
You know, it wasn't as important as it is now, but it was still the biggest tournament we had, and it was the best conditioned golf course, and it was everything they did there, regardless of what year it was, 50, 60 years, 70 years, it was always to try to take care of the players and give them the best playing field they could possibly do. And they had their rules to get in. They were stringent rules. It was difficult to get in the Masters. It's a little easier today because they got that all-time world money list and so forth and so on. But years ago, they just took the Ryder Cup team and the top five from the U.S. Open and the top five from the PGA and the British and the top 16 from the year before. So it was kind of difficult to get in. You didn't get in by winning the tournament. That wasn't one of the factions. Now they have a tournament winner to get in. So that's one way, a little easier to get in.
But
it was always the best tournament by far that we had anywhere in the world. There's no doubt about it.
That makes me ask, Bob, how did you get in 1968? How did you qualify?
Well, the first time I qualified in 59, by finishing fifth in the PGA Championship. And then I played on the Ryder Cup team, and I got into the Ryder Cup team another time. I played 9 times before I won, and I got in. One year I got voted in. I won 3 tournaments. I won the St. Petersburg, and I won the Miami Open and the L.A. Open within a 3-month period. And they voted, the former winners voted me in that particular year. I wasn't in, but I got in through the vote of the Masters champions. They took that category away later on because of racism and so forth and so on. They didn't want the players to be responsible for voting somebody or not voting them in.
I don't think you've ever gotten the credit you deserve for playing the great final round that you did. You were 6-under on Sunday, 66. You birdied 13. You birdied 14. You eagled 15. Do you remember, Bob, what club you hit into 15?
Oh, certainly. I can tell you all about it, how much wind there was and so forth. I hit a 3-iron. I had a 210 yards. But at that time, I hit my 3-iron about 200. And I was above hitting the area where you hit your second shot. Is quite a bit above the green, so you were going downhill, so the ball carried a little further. I was about 215 from the hole, and I did hit a good shot. I usually don't hit the ball high, and that particular 3-iron, I hit a little higher than normal, and it hit onto the green and stopped short of the cup, which was something you usually didn't do at that particular hole. The ball would bounce over, sometimes bounce over and go in the water behind the green, not only the water in front of the green, but it was kind of a not a long shot, but it was a scary second shot, and that was kind of what helped me win the tournament right there. But I did play well all week. I was 5-under going to the last day, and when we teed off of number 10, there were 13 guys within 2 shots, could easily have won the tournament, and I made those two birdies, 13 and 14, as you mentioned, and the eagle at 15 jumped me back up into the lead. And that three putt at 17 was the only three putt of the week, which is unusual there because they're very undulated greens, and it's very easy to three putt four, five, six times and still have a good tournament. But I played well. I was not a good driver to golf, but I was long enough, but I was not real, real straight. That particular week, I drove the ball extremely straight, except the last hole of the tournament, I took a three wood to try to squeeze it in the fairway, and I caught the trees on the right, and I had a two iron left to the green. I had to play under a limb with a little cut and try to go through that runway on the right front side of the green, which I did. It was probably a good or better shot than the one I hit at 15 because it was more demanding at the time.
We're talking with Bob Golby here on the Augusta Golf Show, and you had to make a good putt on 18 for par, didn't you?
Well, I was about 40 feet above the hole, and I had to play about 15 foot of break, and I got down within sight of 4 feet, maybe a week or four feet, but I had three putt of 17 for my only three putt of the week, and I remember standing up getting ready to putt, and I say, "You choking dog, stand up like a man and hit the damn thing." And I took two quick practice swings, and I popped it right in the middle. And the fact that I three-putted 17 kind of helped me at 18. I had a little talk with myself to buck up and quit choking, you know.
I love that.
It's pretty easy to choke on a short putt on the last green if you got a chance. But I was trying to make that for a tie, I thought, at the time.
Yeah.
Because the big board said Roberto was 11 under. And I was 11 under, and I had to make that putt for a tie. As it turned out, Roberto, he made a mistake on his scorecard.
Yep.
And that's how he ended up. He was one behind because he signed for a four. He actually made it three at 17. He signed. He didn't check his card thoroughly, and he threw it in and signed it and left the scorer's table. And once you leave the scorer's table and turn it into the official scorekeeper, it becomes a final score no matter if you shoot one. If you sign for one lower than you actually shot, then you're disqualified. But Roberto was just penalized the one shot that he made a mistake with the card. And it was unfortunate for him, but it was equally unfortunate for me, too, because I didn't really get credit for winning the tournament like I would have. I shot 11 under par, which was the fourth lowest score that had ever been shot there at that time. And so I played well. I had nothing to do with Roberto. He was 40 minutes ahead of me. So I was just playing my game and trying to do my thing back at my slot in the field.
And you and Roberto became very good friends for the rest of your lives, correct?
Well, I was a good friend of Roberto's before that. He's a nice guy and a good gentleman, nice gentleman. And I was his partner twice at the Legends of Golf. We had fun together, and we were friends afterwards and before that. So this happens in golf with rules of that. There might be a little amount of sea at first when things like that happen, but after you think about it, it was nobody's fault. It was just one of those unfortunate situations.
You mentioned the Legends of Golf, and people may not realize you were instrumental in the birth of the Champions Tour. Do you take great pride in that, Bob?
Very much so. I guess of all the things that I've done in my career, my small part of the Senior Tour at that time, now the Champions Tour, I was the first chairman, and I was instrumental. I served 15 years on the committee, and I feel that I helped it. Promoted and get it going. It was difficult to get the thing going at first because nobody knew who was trying to play. You know, Jack Nicklaus told us one time, he said, "I'm not playing senior golf." He said, "I've already beat these guys once. I don't have to try to do it again." And he always criticized us. He said, "Nobody wants to watch a bunch of old gray beards play golf." But once Jack got to be 50 and he started playing and he enjoyed it just as much as the regular tour, and he won eight or so majors, and he won quite a few tournaments, and he was a big, big factor. And I think he changed his tune about senior golf. Once you're 50, doesn't mean you want to quit playing.
Yep.
Actually, you enjoy playing more because you know the time's getting short. But Yeah, the senior tour is here to stay. It's been started in 1980 and still being going strong, and we'll have the more good players on there in the future. And there's no doubt that people enjoy watching the old-timers play, whether they can suit as well as they used to. That doesn't make any difference. They just like to see the competition.
Please tell me, will you be here next week?
I'm sorry?
Will you be here in Augusta next week?
Oh, yes. I'll be there for my 60th straight trip. I started in 1959, and this will be my 60th. It's 50 years since I won, but I also played 9 years before that. And I'm looking forward to going there this year, as I do every year, but a couple of my old friends won't be there. Jackie Burke's going to be 95, and Doug Ford's going to be 95. Neither one of them are going to be there. So I guess I'll be the oldest guy there at 89 at the Champions Dinner.
Well, I hope I get the chance to see you, Bob, next week. Thank you very much for taking the time to do this. Congratulations on everything. Congratulations on the 50th anniversary. And I do hope I get to see you next week.
I'll see you definitely, and thanks for being so nice.